You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is Episode 8, A Brief Respite.
Hello, fans of adventure and intrigue, and welcome back to another exciting issue of Coriander Society Adventures. We are joined today by Beatdown Cast, Ninjaman Matt, and Pods of War, three intrepid heroes exploring the city of Northport in search of mystery and clues into the identity of the insidious Angel Killer.
And as your game master, I am tormented by gnomes. Welcome back, everybody. Chat, you are not eligible for the experience point. You are not. We already talked about this.
I asked. I put it out there for you. He said no. I'm sorry.
Beatdown went to bat for you, man.
I did. That's the phrase I was looking for. Words, man. Casted, by the way.
Beatdown bats. Like, I should have a command to give everyone in chat plus one channel point. Just to represent that, like, if I can find a way to do that, I'll do it.
That's pretty good. Beat down
that.
Yeah,
exactly. I like
that's
it.
That's all you.
Yeah.
Note to self, command to give channel points during mute.
All right. If you are just joining us, Coriander is an adventure, a fifth edition Amazing Adventures game set currently in the world of Northport, which is primarily a large city on a fictional Earth-like realm in a time period not unlike that of the Earth's 1930s, except with mad science and costumed heroes and zeppelins and intrepid adventurers in fedoras looting artifacts from ancient temples and all that stuff.
It's like a Silver Age neo-pulp noir.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Also, Beatdown, you're going to start the game with 1 point of inspiration. Congratulations.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Yeah. Batter.
Thank you, chat. Let's go.
A lot went down in our last episode, which was 2 weeks ago because we went on break. Last time, our heroes confronted the gangster Chu, who works for the criminal organization called The Column. They snuck into the Black Rose, a business where mobsters get together to discuss completely legitimate business. They tracked down Chu, talked to him. They interrogated him, and Beatdown found out that the Column has a secret base on the other side of the river at Keller Industrial. It used to be a factory, but now the mob uses it to make liquor and other drugs. It's also where they're keeping secret scientific equipment they've received from the nefarious Dr. Zorbius Brandt. Gianni Pavlo, the lieutenant of the Column, can be found there. And so our heroes intend to break into Keller Industrial, apprehend Gianni, and find out what he knows about the mysterious woman who fled across the rooftops earlier and the Angel Killer. Also, Gaston has it out for Gianni Pavlo because as the right-hand man of Lincoln Giotto, the criminal mastermind behind the Column, Gianni has gotten away with many, many crimes throughout the city of Northport and is on Gaston's list. The team also investigated Foster Talon's apartment. Foster Talon was a private investigator who they found dead in our very first issue, killed by the mysterious Angel Killer. They were going to go find his notes to see what he'd recorded about the case. It seems he learned too much. When they arrived there, they were attacked by ninjas and almost died.
That was
oh
awful.
My god, yeah, that was... As soon as you said learned too much, I remembered, I was like...
it was pretty bad.
With PTSD,
just triggers flashes of old ninja footage over your faces.
So much the sneak attacks—they didn't stop. Everywhere I looked,
they defeated the ninjas, and in Foster's apartment, they found notes on the Angel Killer. Foster believes there's a connection between the Angel Killer and the mysterious Army of the Eclipse, an occult society that blew up Mercury Hospital 10 months ago. His records indicate that the attack on Mercury Hospital was centered on the morgue. The killings started shortly after that, and up until recently, a mortician was severing the vertebra of the Angel Killer victims, preventing them from rising as the undead. Foster's notes also indicated an expedition years ago to the southern Zoquian jungles was funded by the Army of the Eclipse. This very same expedition ended in disaster, and is the one that stranded Asena in the jungle to be raised by wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Oddly excited about child abandonment.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You know, we have on the one hand, you know, horrible childhood abandonment. And on the other hand, we have amazing kick butt martial artists, you know, so you got to break a few eggs in order to be able to dodge bullets. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's actually
sounds like you only care about my abilities.
What? No. Why would you say that? I think you have a really nice heirloom. That's some great stuff. That has nothing to do with your abilities.
It's pretty cool. You say that.
All right.
Are we going to talk more about that? Because that's...
Hey, y'all can talk about whatever you'd like. This is an open world game.
Mean the literal dragon tooth?
Oh yeah, we did. Did you? What's a dragon? You said that was a dragon. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a reveal.
That was a reveal.
Yep. That was.
This world is dragons, and I'm super into it.
Yeah.
What a dragon is.
Imagine looking at your party member's heirloom dragon. and then the DM DMs you and is like, "Hey, it's a dragon tooth," and you're like, "Oh, are dragons in this world? Nope. Okay, good to know. Very very cool.
Oh, huh. That's even more confusing.
I mean. There are no dragons in this world.
As far as you know.
Do, do, do.
All right. Now, before we begin, I'm going to start doing something at the beginning and in the middle of our game sessions. I'm going to give everybody in the party the opportunity to earn an extra point of inspiration. As we covered earlier, you can spend inspiration to get advantage on your rolls. If you have enough inspiration, you can add little details to the world, invent characters that your characters are friends with. Add elements to the scene, use your powers in weird ways that are unbound by the rules. And in order to earn this, we're going to answer questions about your character. So, for 1 point of inspiration,
terrifying.
How tall is your character? And you don't have to answer it now. You can answer it at any point during the session, during the first half of the session.
Oh,
how tall?
Oh, this is hard, man. It depends on what Taco Bell I walk into, you know?
Are you saying that because they have a strip on the door?
They have a strip on the door, yeah. That's the joke.
I like Taco Bell. Asana's 5'7".
There you go. You gain one inspiration.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm pretty sure Gaston is. I want to say... I know this is the one campaign I'm like, you know what? Let me not make a very tall person. So I'm going to say 5'10".
All right.
You know, I think John has changed. It depends on what shoes he's wearing, but I'm going to say he normally sits somewhere plus or minus 6 feet. It really depends on what kind of heelys he's got going on down there, you know?
If he's wearing wheelies or not.
It depends on the brogues, you know? If he's got himself, you know, his really nice wingtips on, you know, those sit a little bit lower. Whereas, you know, if he has just a really standard, you know, worker's brogue, that's going to have a bit of a higher heel, so might be a little bit taller at that point.
All right. What do you
worth
what do
noting
you call...
that Gaston is also 6'2 when he's pissed.
This isn't even my final form.
I don't believe 5'10 is short. 5'10 is up there with the good boys. Well, not 5'10 isn't a good boy. That's like a more so just an adjective to describe people.
I'm gonna
metagame a tiny bit as a 6'2 tall man and say no.
I think I consider a 5'11 tall.
How tall are you?
5'4.
I think all bodies are beautiful.
Of course.
Says the 6'3.
You're taller than me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's too tall.
The fact that you changed it to 6'4 means exactly what I'm going
for. I've been 6'4 for like, okay.
No, but I mean, you had to clarify. I'm 6'4, not 6'3.
That's the joke.
Exactly.
You changed your height.
Hey, I'm getting older. I'm getting close to 35. For all I know, my cartilage could already be shrinking and I could be losing height. But I digress. All three of you gain a point of inspiration. Write that down somewhere on your character sheet. Bank that up. Remember, you can earn inspiration through excellent roleplay, through roleplaying your flaws, or through chat spending channel points to give it to you.
What about mediocre roleplay? Does that count?
That's how I got mine.
Like if we just phone it in, can I just show up and just respond to questions and not really give a whole lot into it? Can that still get me some inspiration?
See, it used to work that way in the days of in-person gaming that if you brought snacks or any kind of food, you gained inspiration.
What?
Absolutely. If you brought snacks,
I didn't know there was food involved.
Oh, D&D traditionally is a very food-oriented activity. Everyone shows up. Everyone brings like a potluck. Depending on your group, it might be like pizza and beer. If we used to play at 11, so we'd bring like brunch food and desserts. And I had an 8-9 player game, so we had just a feast in the kitchen.
He says 8-9 player game. There was like 10 of us. It was insane.
Don't ever do that, by the way. I cannot recommend that. I mean,
here's the thing. If you can pull it off, totally do it. But not feasible for, I think, most.
If you have to, do it. If you don't have to, don't do it. It's just, it's doable, but that doesn't mean it's fun.
We're not yucking your yum. If you can find it fun, you totally do it.
Okay,
but
that's
we
fair.
Did not.
That's fair.
We did not enjoy that many people. We actively tried to kill people in order to get them out of that game.
Yeah, you spent so much time wondering if you could. You didn't ask yourself if you should.
Right?
Do it,
right?
But like make it Hunger Games.
Exactly. Well, here was the funny thing. As I recall, Joe reached out to a bunch of our friends. I was like, I think half the people will say yes. Literally everyone said yes. Everyone and then their wives also said yes.
Well, that's the thing with adults, right? You assume that these are all like adults. Some of them have kids. Everyone has jobs. Everyone has like day jobs. You got to assume, okay, some of these people are going to say no. Usually you ask four people, you get two or three. So I was like, I'm going to aim for six, so I'm just going to cast a wide net here, and it should be fine. And I got a 100% kill rate, and it almost killed me.
Yeah.
You're too good. What can I say?
But that culmination of efforts is what ended up boring Anakra, which we won't talk about now, but that was a really cool,
it was a very memorable game. But back to this game.
Yeah, coriander.
All right, woo! Yes.
Cilantro. Right,
so yes, the cilantro club adventures.
Doesn't taste like Soap Club.
Only for 10% of its membership.
We like cilantro.
So you are the taco
topping club. Sorry, go ahead.
You are in Foster Talon's dirty apartment. The smell of ninjas is still slowly fading. It smells kind of like sulfur, steel, and
mystery.
You've just discovered an absolute pile of information, the significance of which is still processing. There's so many clues, so much documentation here. It's a lot to take in. But you do know that you were on a circuit of the city originally. And even though you've been armed with new information, it may not have changed your original intention. You do know that you still need to get to Keller Industrial. That is where the bad guys are hiding out, right over here. That being said, you've all just had a terrible battle against ninjas. You're all tired. Many of you are hurt. You've expended a lot of your resources. One of the things that you'd mentioned you wanted to do was to travel to Gaston's laboratory so that, Gaston, you could repair some of your gadgets and prepare for combat. You may have mentioned passing by Asena's lair at some point. I don't remember why. It might have just been to check in. I don't know if you had any specific business there. You've also just collected a ton of clues. And John Carmichael, he has his office at the Essex Hotel where his two assistants, Charlie and Ben, are working on the case. You could give them all those clues. They could process it and help you make sense of them. Or you can just drop it off and say, here, figure something out while we take a rest and then go on to fight. Those are some of your options. But as always, the world is wide open to you. What would you like to do?
I want to make a side note that I'm pretty sure we talked about stopping by Asena's lair just because we talked about stopping by Carmichael's and Gaston's, and Asena was very jealous and said, well, we should stop by my house too.
That wasn't quite, you had me until the end there, but yeah. we'll go with that. We'll let that one. Yeah, let's do that.
I think it's pretty on brand.
Yeah, there's probably not much that we need to do at my place, but you know, she wants to show you all of her stuff that she's collected.
Oh my god.
Gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Wait, that actually like mildly interests Gaston.
Imagine
she's like, wait, she just collects random stuff. What? I wonder. She...
This is like a dragon's trove of possibilities.
Yeah, right.
This is an anthropological.
There you are with that word again.
Yeah, wait, what are dragons?
What's a dargon?
A dargon is a very.
Okay, you have to know he's not saying dargon.
No, John's actually saying dargon.
Oh. All right.
He heard Senna say it once, and he's like, you know what? Yeah, I like that one better. Let's just go with that.
So I will say that dragons do appear in the mythology of this world.
That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
But primarily your Eastern-style dragons. Your traditional Western-style dragons are extremely obscure. But Eastern-style dragons are a big part of the culture of the nation of Sihai and some other lands in that area.
Hey, mate, I know we've kind of discussed it, but Commonwealth, this is kind of like the blending of Europe and America, right?
Yeah. So imagine a world where the Vikings traveled to America and spread and assimilated and mingled with the indigenous people there. And they never got colonized, and they built up through their own industrial revolution and built their own society together. That's what the Commonwealth is like.
Okay.
It's made up of all these different provinces that are fairly independent. They're more independent than the states of the United States are.
Yeah.
There isn't really an old world and a new world, because each place sort of grew up on its own rather than getting the crap colonized out of it. But overseas is where the Omalons are trying to conquer everybody to create their utopia.
Yeah. But in terms of like continent stuff, this is effectively the Commonwealth is like maybe southern North America or
yeah,
so.
All of North America, really. Like if you want to think about it climate wise, think North America.
Gotcha. Cool, cool, cool. And then Zoquia, that's down towards Central America or southern.
Yeah, Mexico, right? Branching. But if Mexico was whiter, and like if a lot of the Central American countries down to South America,
you say
that whole
whiter?
Area, whiter, yes.
Okay, yes, just making
it
sure.
It doesn't get really narrow like it does in places with Panama where the ocean is so close. It's a larger continent overall. It's got deserts, it's got jungles, and
it's got everything. There's a desert place. There's a jungle place. You could even find a nightclub run by babies there. It's amazing.
What the hell?
You've never seen that Bill Hader skit? No? Okay, well, there's a Bill Hader skit. Don't worry about it.
Wait, is that...
On SNL.
All right. Anyways, that place, its history was it used to be a huge empire, like the Aztecs, the Mayans, big, giant kingdom. But instead of getting the crap colonized out of it, the ruling class, the monarchy, became incredibly totalitarian and decadent, and the common folk rebelled against them, overthrew them, and created their own democratic government. And that's what runs that area today.
That's a lot of info.
Don't worry about any of that.
Oh, cool.
Asena, I don't think Asena would
think
actually...
I don't think Asena... She doesn't know a thing.
I'm more sating curiosity rather than saying, remember this, it's important for the game.
So, we just finished up in the apartments. Mm-hmm. And as far as I recall, we probably, before we take off, need a short rest, because the two of them got back up with very small amounts of HP.
I have one hit point.
You're not doing very good.
Hit points.
No,
you guys need a long rest at this point.
Absolutely, but I mean,
do we long rest in Boston Palin's apartment?
Do you want
it's dirty?
Do you want a long rest in the stinky apartment, or do you want to go back to your lair and we can do it there, where you actually can have downtime to do stuff?
Keep in mind, there are ninjas.
I don't want to go anywhere.
I don't know what to do. If we leave, there might be ninjas. If we stay, there might be ninjas. I have one health bar.
That's the problem with ninjas.
Oh my god.
Today has been crazy. This has all happened in one day,
yes.
Right?
Yep. It's been a long day.
Today was you went to the morgue. You went down to the sewers. You fought a giant and befriended a giant crocodile. You found out that John's from another universe and there's other universes. You snuck into the Black Rose. Asena performed a song at the Black Rose. You interrogated Chu. You went to Foster's a talent and you got attacked by ninjas. It is all the same day.
Okay. We are going to stay here then. Is that right, guys?
Would I survive the travel? If we just went above ground, I feel like we're not thought we weren't specifically being pursued
under normal circumstances. If you were to say, will I survive a trip from one side of Northport to the other, the answer would be yes. Like, it's not the safest city in the world, but you can generally get from point A to point B without getting attacked, without a, you know, it's not that bad. This isn't RoboCop.
So here's the thing. John looks to Gaston and says, okay, I think your lair is probably far more defensible than this place. Is that about
that's
right?
That's true. That's true.
So here's what I'm thinking, guys. I know that if we walk along the grounds of the city, or try and slip back into the sewers, which is, you know, a terrible idea.
Please no.
I feel like there's a chance we might get ambushed by ninjas. However, as long as you guys trust me and you're okay with this, I have a means of being able to get us there quickly and with, I mean, unless these ninjas have wings, we should be able to get there quickly and without being harassed. So,
what does that entail exactly?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I do a little bit of my mumbo jumbo. We go somewhere where as soon as we jettison off into the sky, people aren't going to notice because I think that's going to draw a lot of attention if we do that. But as long as I do one of my weird bend light around all of us so that way no one really sees us for a hot second, I will cast a spell that will allow all of us very, very briefly, I'm talking like 10 minutes or so, we'll be able to fly. And as long as we go high enough and then just, you know, bonsai our way there, we should be able to Peter Pan our way over to Gaston's lair by the harbor. So what do you guys say? You want to think of a happy thought and we can go on a nice little grand adventure? I'll hold your hand since it's your first time if you're a little bit worried.
I think the only thing that's worried me is the thought of ninjas with wings. But besides that, I'm good.
Well, here's the thing. If we've got ninjas with wings, we've had way more problems to worry about. Than
pretty sure it's over.
In the air.
Pretty
yeah.
sure it's over.
I don't know how I feel about leaving the ground.
You jumped off a building.
The building is connected to the ground.
Yeah, but you were briefly not on the ground.
But there's another ground. Like, how? What do you mean by fly? Like, you're going to give us wings?
No. So again, imagine for a moment if the effects of this world that keep you on the ground no longer applied to you, and you were able to go anywhere you wanted within the 3D space of what you can imagine. That's basically what happens. Imagine you have a, remember that movie? I think it was Wyoming Jones, where he ended up grabbing that backpack and he was able to fly around. No, she didn't know Wyoming Jones. Okay. Darn. Imagine if I picked you up and threw you really high in the air and then you didn't come back down and you were able to move around through the air just by willing it with your minds. Like how it's probably the way that you use your focus in order to deflect bullets and stuff like that. It's kind of like that.
So I just think about flying.
Yeah. 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 That was that happy thought thing. Yeah.
Think,
you know,
fly.
Just think good thoughts and, you know, just pray that nobody hits me. Because if somebody hits me and I lose concentration, we're all going to fall out of the sky. But I have just enough energy remaining to where if for some reason this goes horribly wrong, I can prevent us from going kasplat on the ground. So what do you say?
Kasplat is my top three most terrifying ways to die, so I'm in.
Which surprises me why you jumped over a building, if that's one of the things that really worries you, Gaston.
I thought I could make the jump. That's how confident I was.
Correction, he fell down the building.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you.
See, if you can survive a three-story fall, then you'll be fine. Yeah, it will be okay. I've got stuff.
Okay, today we fly. Learn how to fly today.
Yes. Okay, perfect. I haven't flown since I've been here, so this is actually going to be really nice.
Really? You're not worried you're out of practice? Is that a thing you have to practice?
Well, I wasn't. Thanks, Gaston. Now I'm a little bit worried about it, of course.
Oh my god, like, why do I have to think of this stuff?
Look, I'm worried about everything, okay? If there's ninjas in here, we need to go because I learned I don't like ninjas.
Nobody likes ninjas. Not even ninjas like ninjas.
That's true.
That's like the first rule of being a ninja.
Don't trust anybody, not even yourself.
Exactly. You can't even trust yourself because you are, in fact, a ninja.
So nobody likes ninjas?
I don't think so. No.
That must be very sad.
I think maybe the darkness likes ninjas because it's kind of like, hey, buddy, like, don't make up a whole lot of room here, but you don't take up a lot of space. You're pretty quiet. So that's probably okay. Anyways, we're getting off topic. So here, at that point, I'm going to say, do we need anything else in this weird, dingy, horrible dead man's apartment? Or are we good to take off?
You've collected all the evidence and clues that you found along the way.
But no.
Do you guys want to drop some of this off with my cohorts back at the hotel? Or should we take care of that tomorrow?
If that's something we can do faster than normal because of whatever's about to take place, sure.
Let me take a look and see here. I should have just enough energy remaining to where... Oh, yeah, we're fine. Unless we fight another band of ninjas, I'm good.
So, totally.
Again with the ninjas.
The spell, if you spend the entire spell moving at maximum velocity, you will go 6,000 feet before the spell elapses.
Okay.
As anybody who ever knows, like when you're driving on the highway, if you're driving on the highway versus driving on surface streets and making a single stop, that single stop is going to take up so much of your time.
True.
So you have almost enough flight to get you all the way to Gaston's laboratory. You're going to land like 500 feet away from it. If you stop at the Essex Hotel, it'll only take like 2.5 minutes to get there, but every moment that you wait, like dropping off the supplies and stuff, it's going to delay you. And you definitely won't have enough distance to get all the way to Gaston's laboratory.
So here's the thing. The spell that I'm casting doesn't have any costly components. So it's just a matter of I have the energy to do it. And I totally have the energy to do this twice. So that shouldn't be a problem. Likewise, I can probably just drop this off through the window and just... leave a note for Ben and Charlie. They know what to do. They can take care of it.
That's fair.
So we don't get to see your friends and the cat.
I mean, unless you want to, do you? Well, I mean, you can see the cat now. I snap my fingers and Chester appears.
Kitty!
Walks out of the closet and starts just moving around the room.
I feel better now.
Also, the Essex Hotel is not that far by ground level. So you could probably, if you just want to walk there, it's not that dangerous to make it that far.
Yeah, but I feel kind of weird walking these guys with just dire amounts of health, even that far, considering ninjas just ran off.
Mm-hmm. Joe wants more ninjas.
Oh, mate. Okay, just from what we know, how long would it take to hoof it?
To hoof it?
Approximately.
At normal speed, let's see, it's about 1,500 feet. It takes like 5 minutes.
Okay. How about this? Why don't we hoof it back to my hotel? And if it turns out, we'll stay out in the open. As long as we don't go in any dark places, we're probably okay from ninjas. Unless we fight business ninjas, where it's business ninjas that wear business attire and then they just kind of throw the hood up at the last second. That would be terrible. So as long as we don't look for businessmen or alleyways, we should be fine. And then if it turns out that there's anything bad that happens, I can do a panic button that could... Gaston, you experience this. I can just temporarily remove us from sight. It only lasts for like a minute, but it should give us enough time to get out of there and safely make it back to the hotel. Does that sound okay?
Yes. Can we go, please?
Yes, let's get out of here.
All right.
Gaston says, like, battered and broken.
I grab a couple of the coat. I know you already grabbed one, Senna, so I grab another coat for Gaston. I go, I know this doesn't look the best, but wear this. I give him one of the crappy fedoras and a really beat up coat from Foster's Closet. Yeah, you've got one already, so you're fine. So here, put these on. We need to make sure we all look a little bit different before we head back out there again. I mean, we don't need to, but it would probably help.
Yeah, I'll put it on very meagerly. Meekly? Whatever.
And then I go, okay, sorry, buddy, I need this. And I snap my fingers. Chester goes back in the closet, disappears, and then my entire outfit changes very, very, very subtly. It's pretty much a lot of the same stuff, just different colorations and slightly different cuts and whatnot.
Okay.
Does your height change?
No, my height doesn't change. I'm still between 5'11 to 6'1, depending on which store I go into.
All right. 5 minutes of travel through the garment district, seeing ninjas in every single shadow, jumping at every sound. But you arrive at the Essex Hotel, where Catherine Rascal greets you at the reception desk. Hey, John, how are things going today, sweetheart?
You know, ninjas. That's all I'm going to say about that.
One of those days.
One of those days. How about you? Oh, yeah, never mind.
How are your friends doing? You need a breath mint or anything?
Yes. Oh, God, yes, please. Do you guys want a breath mint? It's the good kind.
No, I'm good. I don't like the way you said it's the good kind.
I don't know why I'm always trying to get you guys good stuff, and you think I'm trying to drug you, Gaston. I don't know what this is all about. What have I ever done to lead you to believe?
You did start talking about a tea that would literally drug us.
Okay, but that I wasn't going to use that one, though. That was the caveat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have it.
It's not beneath you.
I take a breath mint, I pop it in the mouth, and I walk upstairs.
All right.
And then I just whisper, I'm just going to whisper to Asena. We know he's not a human. What? Like, drugs could not affect him. What is he trying to show us?
Maybe he's saying that our breath smells.
Oh, man, maybe you're right.
Hey, Joe?
I'm going to take a breath, mint.
My passive perception is 21. Could I hear the whisper?
Sure.
I turn back over my shoulder and go, actually, I'm the human. You guys are the ones that aren't human. And I keep walking.
What?
I don't know. It's confusing and weird.
I don't.
I'm just looking at
so many words. Don't even know this human.
No, Janessa, you're a sin. I need more like you. I just need to go with the flow.
I'm going to walk up to the lady and pet her fur on her shoulders again. Or her coat or whatever she's wearing. Not and walk upstairs.
You realize it's dead, right, sweetheart?
You killed it?
What? Me? God, of course not. Would never hurt a fly. Unless I tried to rob the joint and I blast its wings off. But that's neither here nor there. You know what? Just take a breath mint, sweetheart. Go on upstairs.
Okay, I'll take the breath mint and eat it.
Yeah. There we go. All right. I just imagine...
I know John's not here, but I'd be slightly hurt that you guys took it from Catherine and you went and take it from John.
I imagine like Gaston pops it in his mouth and Asena just grabs it and starts crunching on it. Just
and then I'm just literally staring at her like...
As this minty fresh assault just emanates from her mouth, this peppermint wave.
Yeah.
All right.
Her eyes are like real wide because the menthol is like overloaded.
Oh my God.
I can see everything.
I can smell everything.
Can smell colors.
All right. You return to the office of John Carmichael, of Carmichael and Carmichael, where Charlie and the enormous Ben are at work.
Welcome back, John.
Hey, Ben. How's it going, man?
Events are proceeding accordingly.
Oh, good. I've got more stuff for you. And I gesture over to Gaston, who I assume has the files.
I do. Yes. I'm going to just give those to Ben. Again, very weakly.
All right.
Very injured.
He grabs them from you and just immediately passes them to Charlie. Charlie grabs them and hands them over to Nobody, looks at them. Oh, right. And he starts going, licks his thumb and starts going through them. Whew. It's going to take a while to sort all this. You want me to get the red string board, the crazy board out?
When do we not get the crazy board out?
Yeah, he flips over this giant thing full of posters for different food joints and like flyers and stuff. And he's got a cork board covered in red string, a map of the city, different articles, obituaries, the whole works.
He starts
looking through all the different files that you found, and oh, this one goes right here, and just starts hooking it all up. We'll go through all this for you. If you have any questions about what you found so far, or what we know, just ask.
I'm sure we'll be coming back and checking in. Thank you very much.
Y'all
hey,
like...
did you have a chance to go out and get any pens since I came by last time?
Yeah, they're kind of the crappy ones though. We couldn't get the good ones. Not enough in the
God
budget.
Damn it, Charlie.
Hey, look, I'm not the one.
I pay this you a lot of money. You're not spending pen money on me, are you?
The pens.
There's a whole bunch of really cheap pens, and then he goes, ugh, fine. And he pulls out one really nice, fancy pen. This one's for you.
Thank you. Guys, look at this pen. This is the best pen I've ever seen.
He looks confused because he was trying to give it to John and he accidentally gave it to Asena. But based on the reaction he just got, he is not correcting her.
Yeah.
John immediately realizes it and doesn't correct either. Just goes, that's about probably 70% of our pin money. Okay, cool. Yeah, great. Hey, you know what? It was hers to begin with. I don't mind. Whew. Is it like one of those really nice fountain pens that has like an engraving on it? And oh, no. Okay.
Yes. It's got some gold lettering on it and stuff.
It just says John Carmichael on the side. It was the special order pin, top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Asena's gonna like hug him. Yeah.
He's scrawny. He's wearing his overalls. Got those bags under his eyes. A little bit of the eyeshadow. Stringy black hair. Almost and no then, muscle.
Hey,
I'm just gonna. You're making friends. John. You should have known, man.
Yeah, and then she's also. There seems to be some sort of mysterious inscription.
Oh my god, can you not read?
Trying not to laugh.
No.
Yeah, that cost
a
extra.
A little.
That tracks.
Like, I'm sure that she can recognize symbols that match with each other, mm-hmm. and maybe some things that she's seen before, but they're, like, rather than registering as words, they're more images that she's seen before.
Nice.
And especially that's when it's lovely. In this fancy cursive. That stuff is real hard to parse.
That's like ancient runes, yeah.
Yeah.
Ben looks at Gaston.
You seem to be severely injured.
Oh, you noticed that, did you? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am. Ninjas. I hate them.
Ninjas.
So much.
Yeah, the really ninja-y kind. It was crazy.
Yeah, sneak attacks everywhere.
I've not had the opportunity to make their acquaintance yet.
I think they're smarter than that, I'm not going to lie. I just look at how big he is.
Oh.
Hey, Ben, do we have any of that Elysium tea hanging around still? Or did I use all that already?
I believe we may have a dose or two remaining. It is...
He looks around at the two, at Gaston and Asena.
Difficult to acquire.
No, I know. I'm just... I know it's the good stuff, but I would really feel remiss in not offering it to our guests if we're going to be traveling across town in the condition that they're in. You know what I mean?
This is the tea you've been talking about.
No! Oh, Lord, okay. No. No,
made
this
like
is not...
Elysium, I was a little, you know? Oh.
No, it's...
That
it's
like special tea.
It's like the 11 version of that peppermint you had. Yeah.
Ah. It's good for the
minty
throat.
Minty fresh.
Yes.
No, you speak of the Mordane vapor.
Ah, it has a name. Okay, that... All right. Now I know. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, specifically, I'm talking about the Paragon mint tea, the ones that come from the Elysium Fields. They have that initial mint flavor, you know, and then they kind of have that really nice nostalgia effect afterwards. If we still have any of that...
Peppermint.
Wait. I know everything.
By the way, you guys can roll human. Stealth checks to whisper out of earshot, despite his outrageous passive perception. You can always
I'm down.
Stealth, to whisper sufficiently. But he's got, he's still read in.
I would ask that you have Charlie brew it for them. I'd prefer to avoid the kettle.
Yeah, no, that tracks. Charlie, can you take a break, man?
You see him, he's
not
got,
to
like,
actually take a break, just to make tea.
Oh, right. So, like, not a break for me. Yeah, that's fine.
No. Oh, my God, no. No, you wasted all our pin money.
Yeah, all right. Now I'll go down the hall.
Charlie, don't spill any of that stuff. Is literally more important than you are.
Look, I'll handle the hot water, but this tea's out of my budget, all right? I'll handle the hot water. You have to handle the tea.
That's a good point. You're right.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sorry, man. You know ninjas. It's been one of those days.
Oh, yeah. I know ninjas for sure.
Thanks,
yeah,
man. Appreciate
literally
it,
dying over here.
This will literally help. This is going to be the pick-me-up you need. Trust me.
All right.
Okay.
Charlie, I know I say trust me a lot. I really mean it as like a it's all going to be fine and not like I'm a guy that you need to worry about and I am reinforcing that by saying something that I'm not backing up with that. You know what? Don't worry about it.
I was going to say I was fine until you went on that. We're good.
Sorry. Any progress with the angel killer? And will you be resting here? You look...
He glances again at the lot of you.
Bad.
Yes, bad.
We are actually not staying. We're going to be taking the express lane right on out of here. This is just a quick stop off just to get you guys some information. So that way we, if we miss anything, you can give us the grand design on this all, you know?
Of course. This will take a while if I have to read it.
That's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Can you make a copy first if you want to do it your way?
Of course.
Perfect, that's fine. I'm totally... I'd rather have you at your best to review all this stuff. This is some pretty intense information, so having the old grim once over would be great.
Well, after I've had a chance to digest it all, I'd be happy to give you a summary.
You are so funny, Ben. You hear this guy? Digest it all.
Well,
it's funny because he's going to eat it. That's why it's funny.
Charlie,
he's going to eat
literally,
the papers?
I see.
Ben looks at you.
Oh, they know. I told him you were an ice demon. Don't worry about it. Not demon. Sorry. I know that wasn't a... I know that's a terminology you're not a big fan of. He's an elemental. Oh, no. Yeah, that works. Yeah, that one. That tracks. Yeah. Yeah. They're okay. They're cool, Ben. They're not going to say anything.
All right.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. Hold me like a chair. Yeah, I don't really know what you're getting on about, but the dude can split me in half, so we're good.
That will suffice.
Charlie comes back with the tea, brews it up for you. John, roll an Arcana check.
Rolling an Arcana check.
Or an Alchemist Tools check, if you're proficient with that. I can't remember if you are or not.
I probably am, but I'm just going to go with Arcana. Mm-hmm. That's easier.
Okay. Roll each of you, Asena and Gaston, roll 2d4 plus 2 and recover that many hit points.
/2d4, and then I'll just plus 2, I guess. Ah, nope. /r2d4. Oh, I'm smurfing. Plus, what was it?
You could have done the plus 2 built into the equation, but that's fine.
Is that
fine.
A thing?
So hey. We recover 7 and 6 hit points respectively. The tea
nice.
Is it tastes like home and being and peace and being surrounded by good people who care about you and being able to let down your worries. You can feel your body relaxing, but it's not like the way that you relax when you've got some liquor in you. It's the way you relax when you just know you're safe and taken care of. Which might be the way you feel when you have liquor in you. I don't know. I don't judge your life. After you've had a chance to sit down, Ben is going to go ahead and open up the window for you.
Whenever you're ready to leave, I'm going to get started on this.
And he goes through the paper with his enormous fingers, like delicately picking one up. He sees it's a photograph. He sets it down. He picks another one up. He sees that it's covered in text. He takes out a pen in his huge hand, a piece of paper, and he just stuffs the whole thing into his mouth. Just... And he starts writing down a transcript of it.
This is like my favorite part. I literally will sit and just watch him do this. It's kind of awesome.
It takes him a while because he's got enormous fingers, but like once he's written it all down, he gives it another read, he nods. He grabs another piece of paper, crumples it up. He barely has to crumple it. His head is big enough. He just sort of tacos it.
While he's in the middle of that one, I go, "Hey, man, can you do the thing with the words? You know, the Beatles thing, the really trippy."
He's as you're thing. Talking, he breathes in your face. John goes silent. His mouth is still moving, but no words come out. And little chunks of ice just freeze in the air and fall to the ground. He picks those up and he eats those.
Asin is just watching, taking it all in.
What is happening?
Wasn't that cool?
If this gauche display is complete, perhaps next time you can bring some words that have more substance.
I know, you always ask that, and I am not going back out and getting you a Vogue magazine, okay? That is just not going to happen. It's not my thing. We talked about this.
It is the only knowledge beyond my grasp. What is this fashion of which you speak? I would understand it.
I've got to keep something out of your reach. I mean, if you knew everything, what would you keep hanging out with me for?
Well Don't answer played, that. Let's go, guys. Wizard. Well played.
And at that, I'm going to begin the ritual to cast the spell.
All right.
Unless you guys want to stay. You guys want to keep watching him do his thing?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Please.
All right. You're going to go ahead and cast the fly spell at level at a high level so you can hit everybody with it?
5, yeah.
All
right. Oh, that is a big number.
And?
Yep.
I'll move the map to Northport. Think of a wonderful thought. Disney's gonna DMCA.
They can do that live now.
Yep.
Heading to Teesside now and the Harbor District.
Quick, cut it out. They're detecting the tune. They're locking onto our transmission. Disney goons are on the way to my door.
They're tracing the call.
It's coming from inside the house.
Oh, no.
All right. So.
Hide the cat.
Which one? As he hits y'all with the spell, you can feel yourselves becoming light on your feet, and indeed, reacting to your very thought, you were able to take to the skies. It's been long enough today that, and there's enough cloud cover that you can fairly unobtrusively fly through the air. Though I will say, because of the recent spat of superheroes, it wouldn't be the first time people have seen folk flying through the air around here.
Bro.
Oh yeah, it's not as big of a deal.
This is normal.
It doesn't feel normal to you, but and if people, you might get hit with a look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's three hobos wearing poorly fitted suits.
As they go to take off, John looks at them like, "Are you guys comfortable doing this on your own and just following me out, or do you want to hold hands or something?" Going once.
I'm good. I think I got the hang of this.
Good, good. All right.
I don't think Asena's ready to hold your hand.
Oh, no, trust me. I
flying through the sky? Absolutely. Holding
flying
your hand?
Is fine.
We need that music, like the do-do-do-do with the rain and stuff.
I know what you're talking about. The sad violin.
Yes, the sad violin. Yep. Exactly.
That one.
I mean, you might even just reach for her hand and she just doesn't even understand, like,
oh no, absolutely would never reach out to a sign without her permission.
Devastating.
Not happening. Not happening.
All right,
this
then.
Is one of those, like, if I'm gonna wake you up from sleep, it's like a 10-foot pole. I'd be anywhere near those hands.
Honestly, 10 feet's not enough.
Nope. Yeah. 80 feet's not enough
with that move speed. Absolutely. All right. So you are able, as you step out the window into midair, it's a weightless feeling. Your stomach sort of falls out like you're on an airplane, or not on an airplane, but like on a roller coaster, except that feeling never really stops until you get up to a good forward momentum. Like once you're really just moving, then it kind of goes away. But anytime that you're just floating there, you still feel that stomach butterfly sensation. Do you fly straight towards Gaston's going to actually have to lead the way? Gaston, are you comfortable doing so?
I think so. I'm just going to start flying towards the lab, I suppose. The lab/apartment.
You cross over the river. You can see large ships going back and forth. The streets, the grimy streets of Northport, fall below you like a model toy. You pass over Tide Point, full of warehouses and industrial docks and factories and such. Somewhere down there is Keller Industrial, the former plant that now makes pharmaceuticals and narcotics for the mob. You pass over
Resco Field. That's nice.
Yeah. You pass over Resco Field, which is where the sports ball tournaments are held.
Yeah, sports ball. And is it really called sports ball here, or is that just you making a funny?
No, there's Cade Ball and there's Rounders. Cade Ball is like football or rugby, but not quite. And Rounders, I think it's a real game, and it's like a proto-baseball game, and in this world, it took over that
part. Huge.
Yeah, I don't know the rules off the top of my head, but it's like an old-school version of baseball.
I think you win by getting more points. That sounds pretty right.
Yeah, if whoever wins the most points wins the Rounders game. I've got the names of the teams written down somewhere, just not immediately on hand, but the Northport does have a team for each of those that are pretty well-regarded.
Oh, sweet.
And you land, you get to Newton, and Newton is full of skyscrapers. It's the financial district. So you start to have more and more of these, you know, high towers and stuff that are hard to see past. Pinnacle Bank, I believe, is the tallest building in all of Northport. So think of some old school Art Deco Empire State Building type stuff going on here. Big old spires and airship docks and stuff like that. Actually, like the picture behind me. That's probably the Pinnacle Bank building right there.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're poking it. You're poking where we are. We're going to go graffiti that window.
You guys basically fly like from here and you go... Wee! And our audio listeners, if there are any, are going to hate that part. Anyways, you land a few blocks away. As the spell begins to wear off, you can feel yourself becoming heavy, but it gives you plenty of time to land again. And you're a couple of blocks away from Gaston's laboratory. Gaston, why don't you describe what it's like in the neighborhood and what your laboratory is like?
So it's mostly just a bunch of warehouses, very few places that people actually live in, except for me. Mostly people come here to work. That's just kind of like what the area is. Obviously the harbor is right there. And the actual lab is... basically at the top of a small warehouse that I acquired. And it's... I'm trying to think of a... I don't know the exact size, but it is a decently sized area. It's basically a main room where I do all of my stuff, like workbench, tools, not the cleanest. And then there's one other room that's where I sleep. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the place.
And what kind of stuff is scattered around? What kind of lighting do you have?
So it has general lighting, but then also on the actual workbench, there are lamps too for more, I guess, direct lighting, how I would want to phrase that. It's like tools, components, just all sorts of stuff. The beginnings of a little robot buddy I'm trying to make, that's going to take forever. I have its like torso that isn't even done yet.
Does it have a name yet?
No, we're working on that.
Does it have a head yet?
No, I'm working on that too.
Oh, you got to make the head. As far as what I know in regards to science fiction, you make the head first, and you perfectly make the head so we can talk and everything, and it's really sassy, and it complains about how, like, oh no, make me taller, or, you know, stuff like that. That's how, at least I've heard these things work.
Gaston, insofar as your knowledge of science is concerned, that is not, in fact, how these things work.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you also just guaranteed I will never let this thing talk.
He's like, he grabs his notebook. Note to self, no vocal units. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to start setting up wards across this entire place.
Okay, what is it? First off, Gaston, take a point of inspiration for the description of your domicile. Second off, Asena, when you get here, what's the first thing you do? How do you, like, react to Gaston's place? And then I'm going to ask John, what it looks like to everyone as he sets up his wards.
So Asana is just kind of taking it all in. There's so much, I'm sure. A lot of little bits and bobs to check out. Mm-hmm. So this is your place, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Where do you sleep?
Pretty much the only other door in here. Right over there.
Oh, okay. And she's gonna start to just pick things up. She spies like a set of goggles that she puts on her head.
No, don't touch those. What? I take them. I grab them. Okay. Just trust me, you know. This isn't done yet. This real dangerous. Please. I know you're strong, but I like my house in one piece. Please.
She's gonna walk to a completely different part of the room.
No, I was like, listen, no. Oh, I'm gonna grab like a random piece of, I don't know, something. This little piece of metal. I'd be like, here, play with this. I'm gonna throw it at her, or I'll toss it to her, and she'll probably catch it.
I'll catch it and like begrudgingly like look at it. Try to bend it around.
Roll an athletics check.
God.
21. Oh yeah. Bent just. I imagine it's like.
Not that strong.
It's one of his metamaterials, so like as he bends it, it tries to bend back really hard.
So I'll still play around with it. From her. I just wanted to wear them. So that'll occupy her time for a while, but she's still trying to, like, she's going to want to sneak around and see what she can find when he's not looking.
All right, roll a stealth check.
Little does she know I have cameras.
God. Do you have cameras?
I do. Why would I tell you about them?
A natural one. What happens? A critical failure. Gaston is setting about replenishing. He's like, okay, I took apart my watch to build all this stuff. So I imagine you're spending some time like, okay, get my backup unit, put the reverse compositor module in there, reconnect the diodes, you know, wind up the reverse oscillation thruster, all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And as you're going through all this, Asana, what happens when you roll a natural one on your stealth check?
So she's gone to another part of the room and sort of like investigating maybe like a pulley system. And so she just unknowingly picks up one of the weights that was holding something down. And it goes flying.
I need a sound bite that's just cartoon clatters and things falling apart. Clang, 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 clang. Sound of glass shattering, sound of a metal wheel rolling into the distance, a cat meows out of nowhere.
John's like, whoa, I'm just hanging out over here. Where did that come from?
She like put her arms behind her back like she didn't do anything.
Roll a deception check.
Oh, God.
Disadvantage.
Oh, Say. God.
All right, roll an insight check, Gaston. Now, I remind you, these are the 1930s. So your cameras are like old school, huge, real cameras that capture in black and white. And you got a natural 20 on your insight. So you hear this utter devastation and clattering as just one of your contraptions that was in progress of being built falls completely on the ground. A whole workbench gets upended. Glass shatters all over the place. And you see Asana just standing there.
John, like, slowly turns over to Gaston and, like, does one of these.
I think Gaston is like... You know what? Why don't you go sit in the bedroom, Asana? Sit on the bed. There's nothing there you can break.
Fine.
Thank you.
Asana, take just a point like... of inspiration. That was fun. John, tell me about the process of setting up wards.
Yeah, he was just in the middle of it before all hell came crashing down on his head. And he goes right back to it once everything calms down. He takes out his phone and pulls out a little silver wire and begins just tracing the silver wire along the walls, making these weird little geometric runes as he does. And he takes the phone that he has and just kind of presses a little button on it every now and then. And it seems to like do a little flash that imprints the silver line that he has kind of onto the wall, and he goes about inscribing. And I'm going to be spending like the next hour on this, Joe, just going across the entire factory and just setting up wards across every entrance in this place to make sure that anywhere that I can get to that I think ninjas might be able to try and sneak in here on, I want to be aware of it.
All right. And Gaston, what are the aside from cameras, does your warehouse have any other security measures?
Just like one of those really simple like motion detectors by the door. That's about it. I turned it off before we walked in, so.
All right.
But it's on now.
Okay. The team is, you've got your defenses in place. John has set magical protection around the area. Asana is sulking in the loft where you sleep. Is there anything else the team wants to do while you're here, or are you just going to go ahead and bunker down and take a long rest?
John is incredibly interested in everything that Gaston is making here. John is also incredibly tired and exhausted from the day. So based off of his grander sense of curiosity, he's just going to finish setting up these wards and then just take some sleep, regenerate, and get ready for the day. Mm-hmm. Before everyone does hunker down, though, guys, so once we've taken a nice rest here and kind of re-gotten ourselves ready for the day, do we want to head straight back to Tide Point and get to Keller Industrial? Is that what we're thinking?
I think so. I mean, it's going to take some time for your boys to kind of parse everything we've given them.
Yeah.
We might as well go deal with that as soon as we can, especially because Gianni's probably going to be there. Very interested in that.
Also,
what types
do you
of people do you think we're going to run into there?
Bad people?
Well, a lot of mobsters.
I'm just saying that we have come across an alligator, some ninjas, this lady that could jump. I don't even know about the lady in the red. I feel like I'm missing some. It's been a really long day. Oh, let's not forget the guy who literally entered my brain.
Did I know about that?
Master of the Unknown, yeah.
I feel like I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll just tell you right now, it was not fun, and I couldn't help you guys at all, and I just don't want to come across that guy again.
Charlie, the skinny assistant, knows about Ralzamon. Has felt that power before, back at the office.
I think that's what he was trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was straight up not. Mm-hmm.
I was like, not in a place to talk about it.
Just when you are in a place, that's someone you could have a conversation with.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
why she hugged him.
Oh.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah, Charlie's kind of cursed. Just FYI, he's not really doing super well, but I'm helping him along.
I'm sure I'm gonna feel better once I sleep.
Oh yeah,
and I'm healed, but I don't know, you guys. Today's been a lot for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Today has been insane. I wasted one of my bullets. Rode an alligator.
John, come on, man.
And, we almost died from ninjas. This was definitely a day.
Did I, like, roll to console?
Yes. Are you going to give John a hug?
I met a Santa, but I can give John a hug, too.
you don't have to roll for that. You can make a roll if you want to figure out how effective it is. Otherwise, the two of you can decide.
I will leave it to the dice gods.
All right, pick a skill. Insight or persuasion both seem applicable here.
They do. We're going to go with... Where is it? It's low-key inting, but insight just makes more sense to me, so I'm going to go
it's, with yeah, that. Insight's about empathy, right? It's about seeing where somebody's at and really understanding them.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to go ahead and...
Your last roll got a natural 20. How bad can this one be? Wow. Normally when I say crap like that, it bottoms out.
It's just over. See, you trying to dungeon master curse me, gnomes. I'm on to you.
Okay, so does that mean you're giving me a hug?
Yeah.
If I have to, you know.
Yeah.
No, not like that. It's just, you know... Gaston's kind of ish sort of a loner, not really, like he definitely knows people, talks to people, but with the real touchy feely stuff, he's like, what, just, oh, yeah, okay, I think this is what people do. Yeah, this makes sense.
So I think under normal conditions, Asena probably not used to a bunch of human contact physically, mm-hmm, and sure, would be reeling, but she's gone through a lot today. She like, and it feels nice, so she's just going to rest her head on his shoulder.
Yes, I was like, immediately thinking, oh my god, she didn't hit me.
It's like a slight little pregnant pause during this embrace, and John just kind of like sneaks over and is like...
joins the hug.
Just wraps around the two of them, just like very, very like, yeah.
And it's nice. Like in that moment, you can see Gaston's eyes widen like while he's hugging her. He's just like...
Just go with it. Don't resist. It's okay. We're fine.
Okay. Yeah, we're fine. You're right.
This didn't happen in the morning, okay?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
Yes.
All right.
So, about that long rest.
Yeah, Gaston, you spend some time. You grab a little stash of whatever food you have on site and something to drink. You spend some time, I think the other two go to sleep first. You spend some time into the night, which is when you do a lot of your best thinking, rebuilding your watch, retuning all your gadgets. This is a good time to make any changes you want to your loadout before you go to Keller Industrial. Something I want to remind you about is that Chu revealed Dr. Zorbius has robots.
Does. Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I have an idea for that. It's going to be super simple. EMP grenades.
Ooh.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, you'll have time to set that up.
Also, to answer Asena's previous question, I'm pretty sure they're going to have mobsters. They're going to have the possibility of a robot or two, a construct of some kind. There's maybe going to be ninjas. I feel like we just kind of stumbled into those, but they might be working.
So here's what I want to point out. The Column primarily employs various mobsters. You fought a lot of people loyal to the Column, which is one of the two big criminal organizations in town. The Triple Union Society does use some thugs and such, but ninjas are their elites. And the Triple Union Society and the Column are the two big crime organizations, and they are rivals. They fight for power and they fight for territory. So there's no evidence in your database yet that implies the two groups might be working together. In fact, Chu revealed that the woman, the mystery woman on the rooftops, is Sun Jia. Sun Jia. Yep. Is the daughter of mysterious Mr. Lo, who's the head of the Triple Union Society in Northport. So what you've got is members of the Column trying to attack and do something with the glowing goo guns, one of the heirs of the Triple Union Society. So even less than them working together, this looks like a continuation of their gang war. So the likelihood of ninjas being there united with the mobsters is very low.
But they could still be there.
Okay.
Never know with ninjas.
Okay, so now, after that traumatic encounter, I also would like to make a modification to... do I want to make it to my suit? Or maybe I can make it like... Because I'm trying to think of something I could... Because the first thing in my mind is always going to be the sneak attacks. And my initial thought was, I'm just going to put like some kind of light in the back of my suit. So if somebody sneak attacks me, I can use a reaction to turn a really bright light on. And it's like,
nice.
You're blind, idiot.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. You will need to modify the chemical properties by injecting your suit with a different formula. So right now, your suit is injected with the kinetic formula, and the kinetic formula reverses damage on people who attack you.
Yes.
You would have to inject it with a different formula, so it would still give you the temporary hit points, but instead of reflecting damage on people, it would flash them with a bright light, and you could use a reaction to blind them.
Beautiful. That's so cool.
That's okay. Perfect. That's so it. We're going to go ahead and say that you've done that. And do you have proficiency in any particular skills or any particular crafting tools? I want to see if you do.
Yes. Tinker's tools, electrician's tools.
Okay. Make an electrician's tools check with your intelligence.
He has a very particular set of skills. Skills that make him a nightmare for people like you.
I mean, they do now. They do now. After that.
Wow.
Good?
25. Wow. Nice.
It's been a good day.
All right. You manufacture three. I'm going to give you a special weapon here for your EMP grenades. It's going to take me a moment. But I'm going to pull these up. You're gonna start out by manufacturing three of these, and you can always make more whenever you come back to your laboratory.
Cool.
Like I said, it's going to take me a moment to actually pull up the stats for them, and I might do that on the break, since I don't think we're going to get to the robots until we get to the break. You've done that. You've rebuilt your watch. Any other gadget changes, or are you good? And, John, feel free to adjust your spell selection.
Quick question to Gaston. I know you offered a cent in your bed, but where would I be sleeping? Do you have a cot or something?
I got a sleeping bag. You can take it.
Yeah,
I was just going to go curl up in the corner, honestly.
Okay.
Asena is very confused with this question because I believe like wolves all cuddle. So she's very much like, you guys aren't going to sleep in the bed too.
Do you actually say that?
Yeah.
No, it's cool. It's all yours.
I am not above that.
I can sleep in the room in like a corner.
Are you gonna get enough rest if you're not on?
Yeah, I've done worse.
How big on studio floors? Bed?
Queen.
I mean, this is a mattress. I mean, if we don't mind all just huddling up, we can do that thing like foot to head. You know,
there's a lot of space here.
That's what I'm saying. We could put a pillow up if it makes you feel kind of weird. You know, you don't have to lay side by side with me if you don't want to. I mean, I don't mind, but.
Okay. Yeah. On one condition.
What?
We all take a shower before going to sleep.
Oh, do you have one of those?
I do.
Oh, heck yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. So yeah, it has been.
So we do smell.
I didn't want to be the one to tell you this, but yes.
I cleaned up our clothes. Our clothes don't smell, but, you know, we might smell.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the second time today.
I mean, that was the breath. That's a little.
Asena's going to develop a complex over this.
But yeah, washroom is right there. There's like a door in the room. Goes to a bathroom. Or, yeah, washroom, whatever. Mm-hmm.
I use a lot of hot water. You guys might want to go first.
Ah, yeah.
Does John have the heat metal spell? Because I could see that having applications here.
No, that's a druid thing.
Asana can go first. She definitely does not use hot water. Mm. I mean, maybe I should go last. I don't know.
What if she discovers hot water? Oh, gosh. We go in there. It's all on.
You just hear her go and, like, So she goes into the washroom and you just hear her scream.
It burns!
She turns on the water.
Are you... You want to, like, put on a towel? I can turn it down.
It's really hot!
Okay, are you wearing clothes? I'm gonna... I can come help you, but please put something
no,
on.
No, I'm not... I'm...
There's, like, a towel?
I mean, she's in the shower. You shouldn't be wearing clothes in the shower, Gaston.
Just send me instructions.
Understand that. Oh, my God. Okay. Listen, there's a knob right in front of you. If it's too hot, turn it back to the left. Just a little.
Dude, I can never get these.
The water.
Because you say turn to the left, and then I turn to the left, and it doesn't do it, and then I go to the right, and that still doesn't work. But then when I go back to the left, it works. You ever see that? It's like a phenomenon. It's so crazy, man. I hate it.
Okay, yeah, just turn it to your left, please.
Asana's going to accidentally take the knob off. Oh. But she realizes she can sort of just like put it right back in. Put it right back in and then she turns it to the left. And it gets cold. I think it's
Did you get it?
Yeah. Everything's fine. Nothing has happened.
I don't believe you, but I'm going to just let okay.
Question, DM. With prestidigitation, it says that I can chill, warm, or flavor up to 1 cubic foot of non-living material. Would I be able to, even if there's no more hot water left when I get there, use it to like make the hot water just coming out of the faucet?
Yes, because that seems like the sort of thing a wizard should be able to do with their phenomenal cosmic power is more cool. Hot water.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's great.
I know. Just the little thing. For it. That's what I would do.
The little things. Yeah, right?
Glorious. Yeah, no, John's totally cool with going last.
I like how we're taking a good 30 minutes to figure out like showers and sleeping arrangements. And I'm not being facetious. I am here for this. I am 100% here for this. This is good role play.
Yeah. Hey, mate, real quick, just quick question, just to kind of help out with Gaston's feelings about this. Oh, no, never mind. It is creature object. By the time they get back to the room, I have cast enlarge on the bed to where the bed is now a Cal King sized bed. The only thing is it only lasts for a minute, so it's going to shrink right back.
Why?
Okay, so
so we're going to like have all this nice space and then it's like, and it's going to just crunch right back in again.
It's like simulating me trying to go to bed with my 4 cats. You think you have all this space. You think that these creatures that are the size of a loaf of bread wouldn't take up that much space, but my God, do they.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I thought I was brilliant right up until I read that it only lasts for a minute, and then I didn't feel so smart.
All right. Everybody take a point of inspiration. This whole scene is perfect.
In a world with ninjas, mad science, and evil forces, 3 heroes will figure out how to divide up the hot water and whether they need a pillow to separate them. Coming this Friday, Coriander Society Adventures.
Woo! I'm here
that
for
has
it.
To be, yes! That has to be like the intro clip from now on.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Is there anything else that has to be handled before the team finally bunks down, recovers their hit points and their spells? Each of you will recover half your level rounded down, so that's 2 hit dice as part of
copy
this.
That.
But that's assuming there's nothing else that you have to tend to, nothing keeping anybody up at night, no midnight balcony scenes, so on and so forth.
No, I think Asena's like... While mentally she's going through some things, but she is exhausted. Mm. And she's never been this low in health before. So she's going to knock out.
Also, when everyone's coming back to the bed to sleep, John has actually set up, much like he did with the alarm spell, a a circle of runes around the bed that as soon as they're all ready to go to sleep, he is going to activate it. And this little shimmering force field like kind of springs up and surrounds the entire bed that they're sleeping in for just a moment. And then it dissipates. The runes around the bed are still glowing and active, but the field itself, while possibly still there, is no longer visible.
All right. Night falls on Northport. Our heroes, after a traumatic day of injury, mental attack, revelations, and more, finally rest their weary selves down in the cramped quarters of Gaston's warehouse. The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.